the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeFlantes. Anna is here as usual.
I am, yes.
Ro is
good
taking
to be with
a,
you, Brian.
It's nice to be with you too, Anna. Ro taking a well-deserved day off. He'll be back on Monday,
yes,
so that's
will.
Good. Sometime this half hour, we're going to give you a chance to spend an afternoon with Priscilla Presley. Yes, so be listening for that. If you're just joining us, you heard Kim talk about this, and you're wondering, why are they playing the Making a Murderer theme?
Huge ruling out of Milwaukee today, as Kim's been telling us about the Making of a Murderer. One of the men featured in central to the murder conviction there, Brendan Dassey, just 16 at the time he was convicted of the murder of Teresa Halbeck. The judge has overturned his murder conviction, which has, maybe people watched that series, that Netflix series, and felt uncomfortable. I know I did with the way the interrogations were handled and his age and the way he was sort of isolated. And
his attorney didn't come to one of the interrogations. They wouldn't let his mom get involved at all. The kid was
public defender.
Very,
that didn't seem to be on his side. There were so many things there that felt like justice wasn't being done there on his behalf. And that's what a judge ruled today. So his age, his intellectual deficit, his absence of a supportive adult, all those things played into the judge saying in 90 days he will be free unless they decide to retry the case. But we want to talk about this, get some legal analysts, analysis, with our esteemed legal analyst, Mike Monaco, joining us. Hello, Mike.
Hello. How are you? Hi, Brian.
Hi,
how
Mike.
Are you, Anna?
Good. Friday? Quite
a story today. Quite a story. And this also, of course, is probably very good news for his co-defendant, his uncle.
Talk about that, because if a judge rules in one case, is that used then similar evidence for the second case for Stephen Avery?
Well, certainly if there's some related part of the evidence, and here his admission, his so-called confession, was used at the trial of his uncle and used to help convict his uncle. So it seems like the fact that this fellow, and what's key is here, I know when I was a prosecutor, I never used to think that an innocent person would confess to a crime he did not commit.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that that's not true. We now know that it happens often.
And why is that, Mike?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, the police know more than the potential. Say, just assume it's an innocent person. The police know more about the crime than that person, okay? Mm-hmm. In this case, the police kept telling him they knew everything about the case. Over 20 times they said, we know everything about the case. So then it's very easy for the police to sort of lead that person into saying something that they know happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key, of course, is if the person says something false. I know my son does this kind of work for plaintiffs. He had a case where there was a confession that was false. Part of the statement was false. So it was easier to prove that the police talked that fellow into it. Here, I'm not sure if there's any evidence in there that's false, but certainly the police knew everything about the offense at the time that they interviewed Dacey.
Having covered the wrongfully convicted and wrongfully accused over the years, I've always heard from their attorneys that one of the most compelling pieces of evidence is exactly what you said, the confession, because who would sign a confession saying they murdered someone who didn't do it? And yet, as you said, we've learned through very painful ways that it's more common than you'd think. In this case, Mike, the judge said the confession was ruled involuntary. That was his ruling. And so that's a reason enough to overturn his sentence?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Since that played, as you pointed out, the lead role in having him convicted.
So, Mike, let's go back then to how this could affect Stephen Avery.
Well, it's definitely going to help Avery. It definitely will help Avery's case. And I'm not exactly sure how it's going to help them, because here, but the key, one of the parts of the key evidence against Avery was the fact of the confession, allegedly, according to what the news reports claim.
Mm-hmm. I guess
so it's going to help him for sure.
The only issue that is not on Avery's side is, in this case, the judge is citing his age. He was 16 at the time. His intellectual deficit, I don't know if that will be ruled the same for Stephen or not, but Brendan for sure. And then the absence of a supportive adult. So those three things.
Not only that, but what they said to him. They kept telling him during the interview, we know what happened. And if you know what happened, if you tell someone, keep telling them that, they will believe you. Mm-hmm. And the police have all the power. And if the police say, we can help you, all you have to do is tell us that this is what happened. And he says, this is what happened. For example, I represented the fellow who confessed in the six murders at the chicken store.
Was it Brown's Chicken murder.
Brown's Chicken.
Horrible,
I represented a fellow who confessed to being involved in the six murders. He had nothing to do with it at all. But like this fellow, he was young. He was not the smartest guy in the world. And they kept him for days in court, in prison, and they talked him into it. And so that's what happened in that case. Same thing happened here.
We just got a statement from Kathleen Zellner, who is Stephen Avery's attorney. It says, quote, we are thrilled for Brendan Dassey that his conviction has been overturned. We fully expected this outcome from an unbiased court that carefully examined his confession. I was just visiting Stephen Avery, and he is so happy for Brendan. We know when an unbiased court reviews all of the new evidence we have, Stephen will have his conviction overturned as well. End quote. And that again from Kathleen Zellner, who is Stephen Avery's.
Kathleen's a very good lawyer, as was Dean Strang, who represented Avery in the case. Dean is an old friend of mine, and as is Kathryn. They're both excellent lawyers, and I'm hopeful that Kathryn will be successful in this case.
Now, let me, Mike, I know you don't usually do this kind of thing, but we're looking at Brendan Dassey now. The judge basically said that the police lied to him, they bullied him, they took advantage of him. He's been in prison for 10 years. Will he have some sort of recourse when he gets out?
Well, that's a very good question. You mean in terms of having some kind of civil recovery?
Yes, some sort of civil recovery.
Potentially he will. I mean, in Illinois, we've had many cases like that. Last night I shared a drink with a friend of mine, Jared Adams. Jared Adams was convicted of a crime he didn't commit in Wisconsin and served 8 years in jail. And he's now a lawyer in New York in the Innocence Project. He got out of jail, went to college, went to law school at Loyola, and is now a lawyer in New York on the Innocence Project doing exactly what you just said. He's gone around the country on cases like this, finding people who have been wrongfully convicted and getting their convictions overturned, and then the firm does make efforts to try to raise them money. But they have some aspect to it. Now, it's not always a sure thing, mm-hmm. but... some have been very successful in recovering large verdicts for that kind of a horrible event.
Mm-hmm. If you did you follow the series? I think you did, right, Mike? The
sure.
Mankiw murder. If you looked at Avery's case yourself as an attorney, how would you now be approaching that in terms of saying, okay, one of these has been overturned. Here's how I would look at his case now.
As a prosecutor or as a defense lawyer?
As a defense lawyer.
Well, I think Avery, Kathryn Zellner is talking about new evidence, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what she's pointing at. And sometimes to get cases overturned, new evidence is very helpful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, here now you have evidence that a finding from a court that the confession of the cousin or the nephew, I should say,
mm-hmm.
was not voluntary. It was coerced. He was improperly influenced in confessing to a crime he did not commit. That's huge evidence for Avery and Avery's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, is this a common occurrence, or maybe not common, but for a case to be tried in a local area and people have strong feelings there, and then when it's looked at from an outside court, as Kathryn Zellner qualified it, an unbiased court, they went to the federal level, somebody looked at it that wasn't from it directly involved, does that usually bode well for a defendant or no?
Well, it often does, but often the problem is this in many of these cases, and I don't know what if there's going to be DNA in this case or not, but the fact that they go into they get the court and the new court the new judge in a federal case to have order DNA to be done, that kind of thing is very, very helpful, obviously, one way or the other. But in your point that whether or not there is a sort of a local bias against the defendant, I hate to think that that's the case, but my experience would tell me that it is.
Hmm. The prosecutors now have 90 days to appeal this. If they choose to do that, do you suspect they will?
I think it would be a mistake for them to do that. I think it would be a mistake, but they can do whatever they want to do. If they have, it depends on how upset they are about this and how strongly think their other outside evidence is. I don't think, without the confession, could they have convicted Brian Dacey? I doubt it.
Well, and so that's the thing. Point. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, with the judge's strong words about this confession being coerced and basically calling into question the police tactics and that crucial piece of evidence, it doesn't seem from a common sense level that it would be worth the state's time to try to retry this.
Right, exactly. That's the key evidence against him. That evidence is now thrown out. So they will not be able to put in the evidence of his confession. So is there enough evidence to try him, to even bring the case to trial? I doubt it. We'll see. It shows you one thing. Hmm. It shows you the power of the media. The fact that this case was publicized on television as much as it was and was so popular and they did such a good job, it certainly had an effect on this case. I'm sure of that.
And that's what's so interesting, because you think without the Making a Murderer Netflix hugely popular series, would any of this have happened? I don't know. I mean, it certainly seemed as if lack of great counsel was an issue and changed as soon as the media attention was there as well.
Like Brian said, this poor kid, the 16-year-old kid, his lawyer had sent him to be interviewed without even going with him.
Yeah, that's not a good attorney, is it, Mike?
And he's not.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Oh, gosh, so many mistakes there. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you checking in with
folks.
Us on
thank
Friday.
You, Mike.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Let's hear from you at 312-981-7200. Does this change your opinion? Are you happy that this happened? Did you see this coming? Weigh in. We'll hear a little bit of the confession that the federal magistrate today said was coerced. We'll do all of that after we go to Traffic Central. She looked up. Oh, is he going to forget me again? Never again, Violetta. Give us some traffic troubles. Live better.
This is the last week to collect your 2016 Chicago Cubs Fathead sticker inside the Sunday Chicago Tribune. Head to Jewel Osco. Get a special offer from Fisher Nuts. This week's sticker.
312-981-7200. That's how you can join the conversation. We're talking about the news that Brendan Dassey, who was convicted alongside his uncle, Stephen Avery, for the rape and murder of Teresa Halbach in Wisconsin, he has had his convictions overturned by a federal magistrate who said in part that his confession was coerced. We'll go to the phones in a minute, but let's hear a little of this confession. And just to remind people, Anna, who may not have heard this in a while if they didn't watch the Netflix docuseries, how really slow this 16-year-old was at the time when the police were interrogating him.
He seemed to not even really understand, well, first of all, the magnitude of what was going on, that everything he said and did was going to be used against him, you know, and then also that there was something very serious. It felt like, you know, at any point he was told he could go back to class if he just kind of cooperated
for a little bit.
And he was trying to rack his brain to come up with the answers to simple questions, you know, like where were you and who did it? And I just can't remember. Oh, I think you helped me remember. You know, it just didn't feel right when you watched it.
And when you listen to this, you'll hear what Mike was talking about. Mike Monaco, who was just on with us, who said if you keep telling somebody long enough that you've done something, they tend to believe it. So listen to this.
When you cut her throat, was she screaming?
Uh-uh.
Oh. When you cut her throat?
Because when you scream a lot, your breathing goes up or something.
Well, explain that a little bit. You said she was screaming a lot. When was she screaming a lot?
Like,
while you were doing it, after you did it, before you did it?
Before.
When you cut her throat, what was she doing, if anything?
Like, screaming for help and crying.
I want to get that straight. She was screaming for help and crying when you cut her throat?
Yeah.
When did Stephen choke her or strangle her?
Like a little bit after that.
That doesn't make sense. That was just one of the things. That he strangled her after he cut her throat, and the police kept saying, when you cut her throat, when you cut her throat.
There's another point where they asked who shot her in the head, and his response was, he did. You're talking about Avery. And they said, why didn't you tell us that? because I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, because I couldn't think of it.
Something you'd be able to think of. It just, right, the whole thing didn't feel right. Again, a lot of people say it's sort of selective, the way making a murderer presented the facts. But here, the judge certainly agreed that this was a coerced confession.
Well, that's kind of what Gary wants to say. He's joining us on WGN. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thanks.
Actually, I'm glad you just addressed that, because there's been a lot of follow-ups to that whole documentary that said Netflix really skewed a lot of things. And one of the things was the blood evidence. Mm-hmm. They were saying that that because they were out to get him, they planted his blood evidence. But then they had said with one of the scientific guys that said, well, there's a preservative put into the blood evidence that, you know, that's tested. And that wasn't there when they did all their blood work. So a lot of things Netflix was putting up there.
Well, it was the directors and the producer. It wasn't Netflix as the company. It was the directors of the docuseries.
Exactly. Now, yeah. Do I think these two had? Do I think they did it? Yes, I do. Do I think what they did to that kid was right? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's,
I believe that if the judge in that case found out that that lawyer had not represented him in one of his interrogations, I think he should have been let go right there.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, for the prosecutors to actually go forward with this kid and the way they treated him, I think was completely wrong. I do believe he had something to do with it, but I think they really went the wrong direction and how they got their information from him.
Well, and that's the basis of the conviction being overturned. Gary, thank you for the call. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's guilty or not, but I know from watching that, as Gary was saying, and you and I have talked about this, the way they went about trying to get that confession and make sure that they had some convictions, you can't do it that way. That's not how the system is supposed to work.
You're not supposed to coerce a confession.
Right. You can't take a kid who doesn't have the IQ to understand what's going on and make false promises to him. And unfortunately, you know, Teresa Halbach is still dead. That's not going to change. Somebody killed her in a horrible manner. So if it was them, you know, then we'll see what happens with Stephen Avery.
But he is right. Since the series aired, there's been a lot of attention to the details that seemed somewhat compelling had they been included, that would have pointed a little more favorably toward Avery's guilt than the way it was presented, which I think had a lot of people scratching their heads about why either of these men was convicted.